Okay, my goodness, we better get rolling. Sorry, thanks for your patience, everybody. Yay for you, Jesus. Thank you, God. So when did you get this test? Just about a week ago, eh?
Yeah,
this past week. What are we, Thursday? Yeah, because I was down in West Virginia. Apparently Kathy left it with somebody I was with down there. And I was having, I knew, I pictured you when she said who it was. So, good deal. Thank you, God. Hi. We're going to get rolling. Thanks for your patience. Thanks for fellowshipping and loving on each other while we're waiting. There's a lot happening right now. We're just trying to, Todd was on the 700 Club all week, so.
Is he on tonight?
He's just on whenever. It's like 12 different showings or airings because of regions and areas. I don't know when he's on. He was on a live webcast and he was on an actual show. But, yeah, they referred to the website on the show, so the phone went crazy for the last day and a half. It's berserk and bizarre. I'm like, God, what do I do with all these people? There's a lot of need out there. It's important for the body to rise up and begin to carry the kingdom and really step out in the gospel. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of need, and I learn a lot through this stuff. Like, it shows that large the body of Christ, like what we do here, most of you know this, we pray for one another, but our emphasis is teaching and training and equipping. And the body of Christ at large has need, and they're looking to ministries and people that they feel are close enough to God to help them or touch them or pray for them that they might be healed. And that's there's a side to that that's true, but hopefully that's not even God's plan, because if there's somebody like that and the need's so great, there's no way for a person to minister to all need. It would be impossible. John G. Lake, if you read his writings, for months they like didn't sleep or eat or anything, and the line never ended at their door because everybody knew God was in it. And that's not the highest will of God right there. The highest, how are you?
Good.
The highest will of God is that the body of Christ start walking in love and moving in the kingdom that's in us. So that's the main reason we do what we're doing. And that's Todd's heart too. It's not Todd's heart to, he makes it very clear. He's as clear as anybody on this topic when he preaches. Crystal clear. Did you watch?
Yes, I did.
Crystal clear on this topic. But it's amazing how people don't hear that part. Mm-hmm. They just think if he could pray for me, I'll be healed. Because the phone went crazy.
We're still looking for that loaf of bread.
The phone went crazy, and you would have had to hear it. It grabbed my heart because people would start crying in despair halfway through their message and telling you the trial of their life, and it breaks your heart. There's a lot of hurt people out there. And they're crying out for help. Crying out for the gospel, and I just know we're the body of Christ. There's a place for us to grow, so hear me soberly and humbly and get serious about what we're doing here, because it's not just about our needs being met, it's about growing up in the kingdom so we can release that kingdom, amen? John's talking about a prayer team and having a prayer team. It'd be awesome if we'd have 8, 10, 12 people that are confident in the Christ in them that can respond to folks and call back and pray, and the same anointing and the same results flow through all of us because he's Lord. That's our heart cry. That's Todd's big heart cry. That's my heart cry. And I told him on the phone today, I said, man, you're messing me up here. I said, I tried real hard for a lot of years to stay a certain way. I said, you messed that up in about 24 hours. I said, I can see Todd White Ministries in the horizon big time. And I was teasing him. He said, no, brother, no. I said, yeah, I see it in the horizon. I just know there's millions of people, and a lot of people are driven by the need in their life. So, yeah, so pray for wisdom for us on how to handle that, because I got some calls on my machine right now. It would break your heart if you listen to them, because they're real people, and I can't get back to all those folks. I have more phone calls than I can handle anyway, so we're working it out. But I'm just letting you know, it shows you what's out there, and it's important for the body of Christ to rise up, start walking in the power of God. Amen. It really is. So yeah, really important. But I know there's a real conviction at the 700 Club. I talked to Todd a little bit. He talked to obviously some head people privately, and he told me there was a lot of conviction that he talked really frank about. What's your purpose of the show? Is it just some you know, Christian news and Christian kind of entertainment, Christian flair, just to keep the body of Christ, give them something to view. He said, how are you equipping them to release them to do what Jesus paid the price for? He really asked some straight questions. He said there was some huge conviction, so, this week. Yeah, and they're doing some stuff about it. I think Todd's working with them on now on a regular basis. They're going to take cameras out in the street with the purpose of showing by example, teaching, training. And it couldn't be happening with a better guy because Todd won't let it be about him. Even though people make it about him, they just will. He won't let. He'll make sure it's clear that it's not. See, sometimes that goes right over people because they expect you to say that. Like, that's the rhetorical thing to say. They expect you to say that. So they just, it goes right over them. They still see God in somebody, and that's undeniable. God's in him. So, but he has the clearest conveying of the message of anybody I know of equipping the body and growing. So I'm actually excited about that. But they're going to be doing that, sounds like, on a pretty regular basis because the 700 Club staff got really convicted and really impressed that this is a major way to release the body of Christ into the finished work of Christ. And to compel them that everybody can live and move this way. So, yeah, it's good. So, yeah, I'm excited about that. Wow. You hear me good? This is a sober thing in my heart. God wants us all to grow and keep growing in the ability to release the kingdom. Amen. When you see people stop and love on them. I grabbed a drink at Rutter's today and knelt at the cash register for a man out in the open there, and everybody just looks, you know, because they're not used to it. But boy, it'd be nice if it would be normal.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Just pray for him.
Could I share with the whole body the thing that happened with me on Saturday? Because this is a timing kind of thing, to be there and to be submitted to the Lord, to just
be thinking the kingdom, love, and getting outside yourself is what you're saying, right? Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about, where the gospel's not just to meet our needs, but we're actually living the gospel, where we're thinking outside just our day. You know how easy it is to get consumed with just your day and all the responsibilities seemingly that we compile? But you gotta look outside yourself. I mean, it's fun loving people. When you start loving on people, like Dot has a little testimony she shared, and it's important to think beyond yourself. And so, I mean, if you want to share that, you can share that.
Yeah,
just sum it up, just nutshell it.
Okay. On Saturday, I went down to my old house to deliver a bill to my house. And I went next door to Danny, and she is an assistant nursing supervisor on the night shift at Holy Spirit in Baltimore. So she's into nursing and into all things medical. And I rang the doorbell, and she opened the door, and she says, I can't talk to you right now. I just broke my wrist. And she was talking to her daughter on the phone. And she said to her daughter, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm taking you to the hospital. And she said, but you have other things to do. I can see that you have a lot, because I have a stack about this big of things to do. I threw it in the back of the car, threw her in the front of the car, and we were off to the hospital for 4 hours. And while we were there, we discussed God's timing. God's timing. I mean, she had broken her wrist maybe 10 minutes before I got there. Her daughter is an hour and a half away with an appointment for one of her boys to have surgery on his eyes either Monday or Tuesday of this last week. So there's no way she could cancel that out and get up here. They were debating whether they should call the ambulance, and I rang the doorbell. 4 hours we were able to talk, and I was able to share with her that God is a good God, and he is not the God that she grew up with. And that was awesome. I've been on a spiritual high about, it's not so much that I did things. It's that God, I mean, Saturday morning, I couldn't get out of my apartment, and all of a sudden I was released out of there, and I shot out of there like gangbusters. But my footsteps were timed that I would get there at the right time when she needed me. And this is such an awesome move of God. How did I know she needed me? I didn't. How did I know how long it was going to take me to get there? I didn't. I visited Dave. I took tools to somebody. And yet I was still there just in the nick of time to get done what God wanted done. And this is not the first time this has happened. I mean, it's like a bunch of times, and every time I go onto a spiritual high, humbled by the fact that God would use me. And the spiritual walk, the faith walk, is totally enhanced when one of these things happens. It's like, little old me can be used of him in just the nick of time to get his job done.
Well, you could have said, I'll see you later.
Yes, I could have. I could have, and I did.
Yeah, it's taking time. Seeing outside yourself. If you hear what Doc's saying, she's saying, you know, she didn't really even have time probably to be there, but she was there. Loved her, time and need. Going outside yourself. When you love people, you'll find grace in your life all the time.
And the opportunity just pops up.
When you stop people in public, especially, and pray, it's just amazing the impact it has. We don't even realize the whole impact it can have on the people listening, watching. You might be amazed there's even Christians there watching that get convicted and you didn't even talk to them. It's just because they were there and they saw you loving on somebody. It's just fun. Just be conscious to just know this. Okay, go to John 20 with me. We're just going to jump in it because we started really late. Is it all right if we just jump in it and just look at some stuff? Thank you, God. And you know, there's a lot of us that have need, and it's not wrong to have need, and sometimes it's just an adversity in your life, or it's just a real test of things. Not that God orchestrates those kind of things. I don't believe he orchestrates sickness and things like that, like people teach. I don't believe that at all. But actually, in the face of those things, you have a real opportunity to continue to respond in the gospel, or you can turn inward and get consumed by whatever you need. Oh, I want to hug you. See, I'm used to him up here walking around with me playing. He probably misses me, Richard. I didn't get to say much. But hear what I'm saying and stick with me for a second. It's not wrong to have needs. It's not wrong to be in a situation where you need God to move. But I watched this for years since I've been saved. People let what they need consume them become who they are. And then they don't find the grace to live outside of that need. They see themselves through what they still need. Does that make sense? And it actually inundates your Christian life in a way where it's your focus. And until that's resolved, it's like you're rendered powerless, kingdomless. There's no outflow. Like there's people that call the house that, and it's not wrong to call the house and ask for prayer, but there's people that I bump into several times just this week. It's every week. But they're calling every prayer chain, watching every program, hoping today's their day and now's their moment. And you say, well, that's okay, that's faith. No, their whole day revolves around what they're needing. From the time they wake up till the time they go to bed, it's constrained their life. You see what I'm saying? And I'm saying it's powerful when you can see that in such a healthy way that it's still there, you're believing for it, you can even be prayed for it. I could see Mike and say, Mike, this thing hasn't shifted yet in my life. Man, hook up with me and pray with me. And I could grab that time of faith and prayer from Mike and still go on and live outward and effectual and still pray for the sick. Right. It's so healthy. You don't want to get identified by what you're going through. You want to be identified by what Jesus went through. That's who you are every day. And from that place, you live your life. So there's a place to keep receiving the love. The girl that came over, Kathy said she came over again. She's doing really good. Did I ask her just receive Daddy's love? She's changed. She's doing good.
I was concerned for her life. She was that bad. She could barely whisper. And there was an attack on her life like you wouldn't believe. And we had been praying. She would get some little breakthroughs.
This was going on for months.
It's been going on for months. Actually, it's been going on most of her life. She was run over by a car accidentally, driven by her father when she was a baby. Just numerous physical, mental, emotional challenges. And Pastor Don had gone up to see her, I think, once. Ryan had spent some time with her. He was actually loving on her.
Couldn't hardly get out of bed.
Period. I mean, just could barely
real function. Weak. Could barely talk on the phone. You thought it was her last moments.
Yes. It was that bad on the phone. Trust me. I just saw her today. She's a new person. You would not recognize her today.
That's phenomenal. And here's what happened. I was over at the house. Now, John, he's funny. I love John. Who loves John? Y'all love John? There's only one John. You know that, right? There's only one Dr. John. Amen. I'm serious, there's only one John. So that means there's only one Kathy. Kathy's amazing.
I'm second that motion.
She is amazing. But I was over at John's house. Now, John gets patients calling all the time, and they're always in his house. But when we're over there, he always calls it divine appointments. It's just funny. He says, well, you're here. They're called at a time. It's divine. So he's funny. So we just razz about the stuff. This lady called while I was over there at the house, and John's like, this is perfect. Oh, this is a divine appointment. And it's not so I could pray with her. It's just so we could be together. And they've been praying with her. Well, here's what came in my heart. We were praying, and I could hear she's consumed by this. And you could say, well, yeah, but the gospel has the power to crush all that. And we teach that, and I believe that. But there's times you discern that somebody's identity is so robbed and so not established, they could feel better, they could get some kind of breakthrough, and without any kind of change in that identity, a week later, something could start poking them, and they're just by this, oh God, here we go again, oh, I thought this was over, oh my God, I thought it was, and right back into the rut. All I realized when we were praying for her was that she's consumed by the identity, what she's going through, because time has taken its toll. Whole life probably has a voice in it, and it's become who she is. And all I did was have her pray. I said, would you pray something with me? Father, I thank you that you love me. I don't know what I said, but it's in this line. Father, I thank you you love me so much. My life is worthy of the blood of Jesus. God, I'm so amazing to you and valuable to you to send your son to die for me. God, you love me so much. We just had her praying like that, right? And God, I just receive your love. Father, I just thank you for loving me right now. And I just thank you for washing me and cleansing me. And I just having her praying. She's praying this, barely able to talk. And she said, I do feel strength. And I feel some peace or something. Because I had told her, honey, I said, when have you just talked to Father, not about your sickness, not about healing you, just when have you talked to Daddy and to Father and let him love you and just talk to him about who you are to him and him to you? And then I gave her an example. And when she prayed that, something happened in her. And I told her, listen, we're not praying anymore. I said, turn off your phone, whatever you got to do, but don't get on the phone. Don't answer your phone. Would you get alone with Father? And would you just talk to him and receive his love? And I gave her the example, what I meant. And I hung up the phone, told her to call back in an hour. She never called back. Why? Because Daddy came and sat in bed with her. Serious. She told Kathy, the love of God, oh my gosh, came on her and started to reveal himself to her and woo her. And she told Kathy, I've never felt loved in my life. My own mother never said, I love you. And I've never known love. And God the Father came and began to love me. Well, she never called back because she's like, that's what we all need, right? I mean, come on. So he came and said, oh, I love you. She wasn't asking to be healed. She was receiving the love of God, and I guess it was in the morning. She was brand new. Totally brand new. She's up walking, talking. She called Kathy, and Kathy didn't know who it was, right?
Her voice.
Because she's just talking normal. Like a normal lady. Yeah. And Kathy didn't know who it was, and when she told her, she was like, oh! What? Because you should have heard her on the phone. And, so she's changed. Now watch this. What'd she do? All she did was receive what was already revealed through what Jesus did. So Jesus did the work. We don't do the work to receive anything, but we've got to believe. So wonder if we approach Daddy in a relationship way. Eternal life is knowing God. We don't pray a prayer to go to heaven. Eternal life is knowing God. It's John 17. If you just pray a prayer to go to heaven, you're going to be way deceived and have this impersonal thing this way. You know, you can have a neighbor and not know that. I honestly believe you can be born again and understand your need for Savior and not really know Him. Because the Bible says if you love, you know God, you're born of God. But if you don't love, you don't know God. It doesn't say you're not born of God. You can actually see your need for a Savior and actually be humbled in your heart and understand you've sinned and that He is the perfect sacrifice and follow the mercy of God and really be sorry for your sin and understand the mercy of God through Jesus Christ and never enter into a relationship where you truly know God. That's what that tells me when I read it like that. It doesn't say he who doesn't love isn't born of God and can't know God or doesn't know God because they're not born of God. It just says he who doesn't love doesn't know God. Because you actually can't know God and not love because God is love. So your love life is the real fruit of knowing God. That's a straight statement. That's nothing bad in that. It's just challenging and good. Your expression of true love, not taking account of suffered wrongs, not seeking your own, the fruit of love in your life is actually the revealing of the level of knowing God in your life. Does that make sense? That's Bible. That's not my sermon. He who loves knows God. You get it? It's powerful. You can have a neighbor and not know your neighbor. What I'm saying is you can understand the need for salvation and not know the Savior. Know Him. No. Like the Bible says, and He knew her. Intimacy. All through the Old Testament, and He knew her. It's deep, man. He knew her. So we want to know God. So when she started to pursue Him and draw near to Him, He drew near to her. But all we did was get her identity off of her problem and shift her heart to Him. That's all we did on the phone. That was cool. And that wasn't a cop-out for the lack of power. That wasn't just trying to get off the phone and on, just trust, believe it. It was an impression I had in my heart that this young lady had no identity anymore because she's been through so much. And every day she woke up to the same thing. And it was ruling her life. Who hears what I'm saying? So it's really important, Craig? Oh, okay. John 20. I want you to see something. I'm just going to... This is really... provoked me. The last 2 days, just some talks with Todd and just some things even that happened at home, just with some phone calls and things. Just, I get calls. I get to love on a lot of people. I'm a pretty privileged man. I get a lot of calls and people say to me, I found you on the website. I didn't know if you'd pray for me. I called and they name like 7 prominent ministries. And they've been prayed for by them all. And all they're doing is looking for someone, looking for an answer and help. And I understand that to a degree. But I get to talk to these people about what I'm talking to you about. And then I pray with them. And it's not that there's been a whole lot of result. And it's not that I know God any more than a lot of these ministries. But I have a heart to get people in a place where they're living through a clear eye every day. I'm more than just seeing them healed. Their life's going to go on. They're going to be tried somewhere down the road in whatever area it might be. And it's time that we know Him and understand Him and understand who we are because of Him and live from a good, healthy perspective. Because if your perspective isn't healthy, it's just all the more vulnerability. You're going to be slammed all the more in a lot of areas. A lot of the trouble that comes to people is just their weaknesses are being attacked. Their vulnerabilities are being slammed. You understand what I'm saying? You don't want to make yourself vulnerable. You want to be careful to just not... This isn't heavy. This is helpful, okay? Stick with me, everybody. I don't want to feel anybody getting heavy. You don't want to just with your mouth and think it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? There's places for you to get alone in prayer and just really let God minister to you and who you are be manifested, who you are in Him be manifested to your heart, because you don't Paul says, don't be unaware of Satan's devices and don't give him any place. Come on, if it wasn't a big deal what I'm saying, he wouldn't write that way. Don't give him any place. Because I've learned that, and scripturally I could prove it, whether you give him place or not, he's coming to bring a storm to see if the house you're building stands. So he's coming anyway. God forbid we just give him a couple extra doors to come through. And I'm not encouraging a teaching that says, oh, what door did I open? I don't even ever go there. Those of you that know me know I don't ever go there. When stuff hits, I'm not like, okay, what door did I open? Look, I'm convinced he's coming anyway. He's coming to, I said it last week or the week before, he's coming to prove that every man loves himself more than God. And he's coming to prove that, and he's coming to say the only reason we give God attention is because God's given us attention. The only reason that we're even showing affection to God is because he's blessing us. And if he can steal away the blessing, he'll reveal that our heart's really more for us than it is for God in the kingdom of God. And that's pretty straight. You ought to want somebody to talk to you like that. Because this is the stuff that Satan does. He's out to squeeze every man to reveal what he's really motivated by. And there's this war between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Now watch the arrogance of the enemy. He can't defeat God. He can't defeat his wisdom. He couldn't stop the cross. He actually was used like a pawn and played the most vital part. He actually crucified the Son of God. Yeah. And God let him do it. Played him like a pawn. Checkmate. See? It's serious. That's a big deal. But here's how Satan is. It seems like a checkmate, but oh, no. I just can't defeat God, but I can defeat them. That's right. They're pushovers. I've been running them around since the fall. I'll just get in their heads and get in their hearts, and I'll still own them at some level. Yeah, they can be born again, but I'll sit on the throne of their soul, and I'll roll them from their mind. And I'll be God to them. And they'll fear me, and they'll worry, and they'll fret, and they'll still live in offense, be angry and jealous and prideful. No big deal that I crucified the Son. I'll keep them far from the finished work. I know how to get them. And I really believe that's the approach of the enemy. And he's convinced that every man will just still be the same. And he'll only want God for what God can do for him. And I'm telling you, don't only want God for what God can do for you. The hand of God is awesome, and he's merciful, and he'll extend his hand to many people in many situations. But I want to behold his face, and I want to die. Look into his face and die so I can live. You get it? Feel a little flaky now, but that's all right. So I want to look into his face and become what I see. I don't just want the hand of God. The hand of God is awesome. That's not what we're pursuing. We want who he is and who he is in us. We don't just want the answer to our prayer, guys. We don't just want our needs met and our bills paid. Please, we've got to go deeper than that. We want him because he's awesome and amazing. We want who he is to be who we are from the inside out. We want to die to live. We want to not love our lives unto death, because in every count we'll overcome the enemy if that's the case. Because see, if you don't love your own life unto death, even in the greatest trial, you won't take it inwardly. You'll respond from inwardly. You following me? This is just important stuff. It's just little tidbit stuff to keep your eye clear. Because my Bible says if my eye is single, if I only see one way, if it's single, I love that definition. There's other words in your translations like healthy and good, but it's too general. Single is, yeah, clear, healthy, good. The King James says if the eye is single, who can understand what that means? If it only sees one way, it's a one-way street. It's a straight and narrow view. It looks through Jesus. You get it? It's the only way I see, right? If that's the only way I see, it says my whole body's flooded with light. That's a promise. That's grace. So if there's gray zones, static, it just means our perspective needs to fine-tune and narrow down. We've embraced and incorporated in some of the wisdom of man, human reasoning, opinion, the way that seems right to a man, and it broadens your view and it hinders that clarity in the flow of that light. It actually goes as far to say, if the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? It means just how wide is your view.
Yeah.
Get it? So this is just important stuff. But I turned you to John 20 because I want you to see something. I honestly want you to see that this is so for everybody. And I understand But there's people right now that have, you don't even know how I've struggled with this. Nobody really knows. I don't bear my heart too much with folks because I just don't. Because people are quick to just tell you what they think. And I've prayed long and hard on a lot of ways that I am and things that I do. But I've struggled even with the teaching training thing because there is a revelation in my heart. And I understand that. And everybody says, yeah, but there's a revelation. I understand that. That is never should be the focus. The focus should be that the revelation is ours. Okay? I've noticed in the last couple of months, I've got more involved praying for people. Especially when I travel. Not so much at home. Because I've learned that if I pray for everybody at home and people get healed, then everybody even at home wants me to pray for them. And that's not why I'm here. That's not why I'm in this chair tonight. I'm in this chair to share a gospel that changes our lives, that it gives us the honor of the kingdom and the privilege. Oh my gosh. But lately I've troubled and I've even said, God, I even talked to Todd about it just a little bit. But I noticed that there was this grace that I've been believing for, that when we're preaching and praying and I turn everybody loose, that people just get healed everywhere. And I see it a lot of times and then I don't always see it like that. And I've always avoided praying after people pray. And I've noticed in the last couple of months, especially when I travel, people are still hurting after they're prayed for, and they slide over to me and say, can you pray? And I pray, and I can't tell you how many people I've seen healed. Lots. And it bothers me. It does. And I'm like, God, this can't be. I need understanding here. Because then they think, see, I had a pastor pull me aside and say, it's because it's a gift. You need to face it's a gift. And that's not what God's saying. When John met me, I prayed for everybody. A couple people got healed. Yeah.
Yeah. A couple thousand.
No, a couple. Serious. And I'm not saying that in a rude or a funny way. I mean, I'm not trying to draw attention in a weird way. What I'm saying is there is a revelation, but I'm convinced God wants it multiplied.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the deal. Jesus came, and he is the revelation.
Yeah.
He attaches a few folks to him and imparts that revelation and even lays hands on them and blesses them and sends them. And then he leaves the scene and goes and sits down at the right hand. Now, I believe he knows what he's doing. I don't believe Jesus made like a poor administrative decision. Because you got to understand that as time has gone by and this war against the enemy and stuff, a lot seems to be lost, but it's still there concerning the kingdom. When you look at the book of Acts, I hear preachers say, well, we're not trying to get back to the book of Acts. That's the baby church. We're trying to, and I'm thinking, no, a lot of people would be glad to get back to the book of Acts. But in the sense of that it's our roots, you can read it and see it's the truth about who we are. And you have to separate where we've drifted. We've had a lot of unanswered prayer. And it's created a lot of stuff. And we've answered it in our own way. Instead of going back to Jesus, back and looking to Jesus, right? So Jesus knows what he's doing. He gave this kingdom to a few men and told them to give it to the world. And we have so got to get back to the original, straight up, no nonsense message that Jesus imparted to these few men. No matter what's happened to it along the way, the message is the same. Jesus is the same. And God's waiting for some folks to just say yes to this message and not even say yeah, but in any count. And you have no idea how I struggle sometimes with this stuff. Because I pray for a few people to get healed and there's so much I'm not seeing. And you just don't even understand behind the scenes how people talk. I was just in West Virginia and a lady said, and it almost broke me. She said, do you think there's like a lot of people where you're at? And I said, where I'm at? I didn't even know. Where am I? Where I'm at? That is the last thing in my heart that I want to convey and have come out of a meeting. Where a lady says, do you think there's many people where you're at? I'm like, where I'm at? I want to be where Jesus is at. I don't, thank God you see some in me, but my heart is broken, man. Dale Mummert's in the hospital. He needs to get off that bed. Little Sam Mills passed away, and it wasn't fun. There's too much stuff I could tell you about on the pain side. Where I'm at. Gosh, let's not let the little bit of revelation we see in a couple people's lives be the standard. Jesus is the standard. And he set the standard and gave it to a few men on the earth, believing that they could impart it to the world and that the vision would never die. And I'm saying, let's get back to that place. Every one of us has that right. Come on, I'm talking real passionate tonight. I'm crying out like... Because a lot of this stuff shook a lot in me. I know what the body's become. And as exciting as it all seems and all this stuff, Satan has more to do with a lot of stuff than you even realize. And just how he tries to move and move on people and play weaknesses and get things to not be seen for the way they are and misconstrued. And I'm telling you, the best thing everyone in this room can do is go back to the beginning, back to truth, back to the precedent Jesus laid and say, that's mine. That is mine. That's for me, period. It's not just for Richard and Natalie. That's for me. And if I see Jesus in Richard and Natalie, praise God. But they're not my answer, but I'll glean from what I see in them, knowing that it's for me, this kingdom's for me. And then I get alone with Jesus, and I yield my heart, and I keep growing in more. This impartation thing, if we're not careful, gets way out of balance. I understand ceilings and floors and stuff, and I understand that. But there's places that you can only get what you get from your intimacy with Jesus. There's things I could never lay hands on you. I can't. The way I live and function from the inside, I don't ever get unsettled. Like, I don't go, oh my gosh. Like, I don't panic. I've been thrown into so many situations where I don't even understand fear anymore. I can't impart that to you. That's the way I've become. See how silly I'm getting right now? I'm telling you the truth. I know who I am. I know how I live every day. And there's something free about that that I like. But I can't give that to you. You understand? There's things that you can only get with Jesus. I so admire David Hogan. Is probably one of the most misunderstood ministers in America because they don't want to hear what he has to say because he doesn't have a whole lot of good to say to America concerning our churches. And I honestly believe he's right in most counts. And he talks very, very, very strong. But he'll say stuff like, people always come to me and say, I want to know the secret. And he says, I ain't telling you. Go get it from Jesus. And they think he's being smart. No, he says, you're a Burger King generation. You want it your way in 5 minutes. He said, all along the way, men have paid a price. He said, there's America, a country of arrogance called America that says, he's paid for it all. Now give it up, Shundai. That's how he preaches on the video. And I'm like, he's right. Yeah. And we say, well, Jesus paid it. And we pray a prayer, and if it doesn't come, we're, where are you, God? Why? Well, I prayed. Hello? And we think it's a contract deal or something instead of a covenant. And relationship. Because if we understood it was a covenant relationship, we'd spend more intimate heart time. We'd yield ourselves to knowing him more. I'm not being mean right now. My heart's crying out, okay? Yeah. I was in West Virginia. You have no idea. I can't really talk about it. I'm suppressing tears just so I can talk. Do you think is there many people where you're at and it almost felt offensive, insulted in the sense, like, to the gospel, like, where I'm at? Don't, my gosh, I'm not a standard in any way. Mm-hmm. And even the only reason she said it, because a few people got healed, which is huge. Mm-hmm. But it's God saying, this is us, this is for us. We have done it for years. I was guilty for a long time. I would go to churches and pray for every single person. Prophesy, move in my anointing, pray, and believe God to wreck everybody. And I'd prophesy in words of knowledge, and all of a sudden, It creates something that's not healthy. I ministered totally different than I did years ago. Tisha knew me years ago. I was a lot more aggressive years ago. I prayed for a lot of folks and prophesied and prayed in words of knowledge and moved in a certain way. Jesus changed all that in me. It shocked me so bad when I started to understand this that I shut down for almost a whole year. And just counseled folks and stuff and didn't even minister. And Jesus came to me and said, I just got your attention on some things I never told you to turn off. That's what he told me. But he wanted me to find a healthy place in it where all I was doing was, I'd leave a church and the church would say, well, we're going to have Dan back in 4 or 5 months, especially if we get a few sick folks. That's not what we're doing, guys, at all. We want to reproduce the kingdom. And it was funny. I mean, West Virginia, God is good. There was a lady there. I had fun with it in Fritzland. I said, Todd runs into all these short legs. It's just bizarre. I mean, it's too nuts. I said to him, and he said, oh, that's twisted, dude. I said, when you, there's an anointing in your life that when you get around people, their leg shrivels. So that God can manifest. I said, I think when you get around them, their legs shrink so you can pray and God can demonstrate. Short legs. You know, I said, I would be good just to go out in the street and just start saying to people, let me check your legs. And I said, most people would have a short leg if what I'm seeing in him is anywhere sense true. If they just have a little bit of a hip pain, he checks the legs and it's always short. I check their legs all the time and they're never short. My back's hurting. Well, sit down. Let's just see something here. I've been learning this and seeing this to my buddy. No, your legs are fine. Let's just pray for your back. Boom. God will heal their back. But I don't. I said, I think he's shortening them legs. We have fun with this, right? So I go to West Virginia and this lady asks for prayer and I say, how can we pray? It's the first lady. She tells us the problem and she says, and plus I have a very short leg for 20 years. I've just tolerated it or almost all my life. And I said, I was so pumped. Said, you have a short leg? I was like excited. I was so pumped. Your leg is short. Did a few spiritual cartwheels. Nobody knew, John. I was like, I'm so pumped. I said, sit down. I couldn't wait. So I said, who has never prayed for or seen a short leg grow? Well, the majority of the hands humbly just shot up. I noticed the pastor and his wife's hands came right up. I said, oh my gosh, Ken and Krista, get up here. So the pastor's up there now. And he's looking like, he called on me. when he really looked at me when he got up there, and it was all learning. I said, get those feet in your hands and look at them. Hold them just like this so there's no pulling. Nobody can say you're tugging, pulling. Just hold them like this. Tilt them out. Let's see. You can see. And I said, what do you see? He said, oh my gosh, it's really short. And his wife shook. And I said, if you've never seen a short leg grow, people, and you're inquisitive, you're curious, you just want to see this, you need to make sure you get up here. We had a couple people with scoliosis, other things that we went over and prayed for. God was just moving. It was fun. I told him real confidently, just pray, it'll come right out, keep your eyes on the legs, just say in Jesus' name, leg, you come out, okay? I got everybody around, what do y'all see? Oh, that's way short. I mean, it was way short. So I take off, and I'm going for a while. If anybody knows how I can be, I'm going. So I realized some time's expired, and I slid back over, and they're all standing in the circle, and it's kind of quiet. And they're all just standing there, and Pastor's still down on his knees, and he's holding his feet. And I said, what's going on, guys? And I'm all pumped. You know, I'm like, we got a short leg in the house, you know. I said, what's going on, guys? And one lady said, nothing, yes. And I looked in, and there's that leg, just as short as can be. And there's the pastor sitting, right? And I poked him. I said, feel a little under pressure about now, aren't you? That's exactly what I said. I said, you're feeling a little under pressure, feeling a little balmy and sweaty right now, aren't you? Like you've got to do something to make something happen. He said, yeah, I'm feeling pretty under the gun, brother. I said, exactly. And that's exactly why things don't happen. I said, and right now there's people thinking, is this really going to happen? You're not even engaged. You're not even faith. And I read off about 3 mindsets that were in the circle. And the people got humble and repented. And the one lady said, you just read my mind totally. I was thinking that very thing exactly. And I said, guys, it has nothing to do with you producing anything. The fact that it's a vision has more impact than you think. Because your eyes are waiting for it to happen. And as it's not moving, your mind is your biggest detriment and enemy. And your mind is talking you out of what your heart is saying is true. And this war goes on in us all the time. And the Bible teaches the only way to win this war is a long time with Jesus Christ. To where you know Him. Where you know Him, where you know His will, you know His love for the lady, you know His power, and faith comes out of knowing Him. Faith isn't holding the feet, and now you're trying to believe. Because if you're doing that, you're already done. You're not trying to have faith. You can't locate and find faith at this point. It's knowing Him. So I didn't realize what was happening until later. I'm way behind usually. I'm very slow on this stuff. I feel used. Used by God. Used. Using me all the time. We think, I want to be used by God. No, I mean used. Like, I'm the last one to figure out what's going on half the time. And it's cool because I'd probably get in the way or make a mistake if I thought I knew. So I'm all casual and I'm like, well, I said, isn't that amazing? So you really are feeling, yeah. So you're feeling like, what do I pray next? What more can I pray? What can I add to this? What should I do? He admitted to everything as the pastor. I said, see, it has nothing to do with that. I said, listen, Jesus loves this lady. I said, it's her value to Him. He paid a price for her, and we all just knowing that and seeing this and knowing this isn't her creative value. And I'm sharing the foundation of where faith is laid, knowing this stuff. And I said, now keep your eyes on that leg. Make sure you watch it. Because these bones are healing, this body's aligning, and as I started to talk and point, it just went right in his hands. And he went, ho, ho, oh my. And all the crowd's going, oh, oh. And the lady looked at me with tears and said, this is teaching us so much. She said, I was feeling those things. There's a casualness, but it's not casual like irresponsible casual. You're just at peace. You're not trying to produce you. I said, honey, I can't. She said, that's so refreshing. You're not rah, rah. Come out, leg. You're just, it's like, I said, I looked at her, I said, it's like knowing Him. It's like I'm knowing Him, knowing His heart. I'm just representing Him, honey. This is so beautiful. She ran right back to the back, called her mom and dad, and said, I just watched the leg grow. This is power. It's the power of God. This guy's not striving. He's just, you'd have to see it, mom and dad. And she's back there flipping out. So the pastor was like, that really touched him. Well, that's when this lady came up to me then and talked to me and said about people being where I'm at. So I got to share and set the whole thing straight. And it's just knowing Him. You get what I'm saying? It's just fun. That was a teaching thing. All those people with a visual, guys, just keep that in mind. Don't let a visual determine what you believe. You believe because of Jesus. You believe because you've been with Him. You believe because you understand the Word. You don't believe because you see or don't see. This, right? You believe because He's Lord and you've been with Him and you've read it. See, the Bible says what you see is temporary. We don't look at the things we see. That's temporary. So that was extremely temporary. So I went over there with the lightheartedness of, no, don't worry about that, guys. This is like so temporary. And we believe what we haven't seen because it's eternal, right? So there's a good principle there. Prayed and it came right out. So I got to teach, but this pastor was so cool. The very next service, he called a lady up. She testified and found out that she wasn't totally healed in an area. Had nothing to do with me being there. She was in the hospital and came home. It was a week before I was even there. And he, right in front of everybody, he said, is that still? Well, listen, stretch your hands to her. We're going to pray. He prayed in authority. And then he said, I want you to check that right now and tell me. She said, well, he said, stop. We're praying again. And now he's starting to release faith and move in a way where he's going to see. He's going to see cool stuff. You see what I mean? So it was a great learning lesson. God was fathering him. It was so neat. Gifts are fun, and they get people's attention, because when you know somebody's hearing God, you think, whoa. But here's the bottom line. My sheep, what? And faith works through what?
Love.
Faith works, faith comes by hearing by the word, but faith works through love. And love is the most what? Excellent way. So as we grow in the heart of God by spending time with him and ask his heart to come in us in such a way that we see what he sees and we look through his very eyes, it's amazing how I started to try to preach in the morning. I was doing good, John. It was really clear. Really. I mean, the pastor set me up. It was one of those setups where he said a couple of things and my heart went, and I just jumped right up and didn't say a word. I just started preaching. I said, listen, the reason that is because bang, bang, I'm preaching and it's real clear. And I thought, wow, this is so clear and good. And I all of a sudden, I couldn't preach no more. I kept getting drawn by the lady sitting right where John is. And I'm trying to preach, and Holy Spirit just kept saying, she's hurting. She's hurting. And I'm like, I'm trying to preach. She's hurting. And I said, honey, you are so in my way. That's what I said to her. And she's sitting on the front row like, you want me to move to the back? You know, she didn't say that. She's just looking at me like, what do you mean? I said, honey, you are so in my way right now. I said, I am preaching so good and you are really in my way. And everybody's just kind of giggling. And I said, you've got pain right here and here and you got this going on. She said, oh, it was so for me. It was so God's love for me. She said, you're going to love this. She said, I do. That's exactly that's why I came today. I came to be healed. In fact, it even has my leg really short. And I was like, whoa, ooh, 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 I was pumped, baby. I was like, this trip is so the will of God, man. And I was pumped. You have no idea. I never got so excited that two people had short legs in my life. I was like, they really are short, Richard. They really are. So I said to her, I made this comment like, well, honey, this is amazing. I said, I'm trying to preach. This was clear, wasn't it? And everybody's going, yeah. I said, but she's so important to God, she just got right in the way of the message. I said, so, honey, we got to get you out of the way. We're going to get you out of the way so I can finish my great sermon. And everybody's giggling, right? I said, listen, it's simple. I said, I discerned that. That's gifting. That's the heart of God for you. My heart is to multiply and increase and preach what I'm preaching. And God goes, because our hearts are one. And he says, hello, Dan, her. I love her and I want to touch her now. I said, so this is awesome. I said, so your leg's fine, the pain's coming out, everything. I said, so let's just do this thing. And I didn't call anybody up. I was just going to do it myself, pray, and get her out of the way. I said, I'm just going to do this as I was having fun with it and get you out of the way so I can keep preaching. So I picked up her feet, and I said, which leg's short, honey, as I'm picking up her feet? She said, the left one. And I picked it up, and I said, honey, you got the wrong leg. Your right one's way short. She said, no, it's my left one. I said, hon, look at your leg. It's the right one. It's way short. She looked down and went, oh, my gosh. No, I got a built-in lift in the left shoe. It's on the inside. My lift, it's not the sole. It's inside. The leg was already grown. The whole lift was sticking out past the other foot.
I think that's the problem all along. It's such a great anointing. They keep growing out. We can sit them down.
Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, high five that one.
Maybe God. They're already grown, John. Thanks for trying to encourage me. But this short leg thing was fun, too. I'm believing for the wither the leg so we can grow the leg.
No.
I'm kidding. Strike that on the tape. Serious. It was already normal. Never prayed a word. The love of God discerned. I was teasing. Let's get her out of the way. We're going to get you out of the way. Picked her up. She's already out of the way. So we brushed her aside, even though God will never brush her aside. We brushed her aside. Preached, right? You know what I'm saying. She's sitting there just crying, overwhelmed. Stood up, had total change.
Okay.
Isn't that cool? It's fun. That's just discernment. That's the heart of God. That's becoming one with the heart of God. It's not so much, watch. Oh, man, get this. Please grab this because I believe he's taught me this over the years because I used to ask for the gifts. And there's a little striving that can come there and you're waiting for the gift and you're gift conscious. Got to hear.
Good for the love.
Go for the heart of God in the secret place. Yeah. And the gifts just flow and you don't even think about it. And there's no pressure. You're not trying to produce a thing or hear a thing. It just comes in the heart of God. Look, I'm not even thinking gifting. I'm preaching and God goes, meh. I do that when I travel more so than at home. I just do. Because You'd be amazed. People would call me at home years ago and say, well, I'm not going to tell you what's wrong. I want God to tell you and pray for me.
Oh.
And you do it all the time. And don't think I'm an unloving guy, but there's some people that I knew and I said, look, knock it off and just tell me what's wrong. Ask and it shall be given.
Yeah.
Just knock it off and tell me.
That's
what I would tell them, because there's something not good about that.
Students.
I remember teaching a word of knowledge thing at your Christian Fellowship on a school ministry night on the word of knowledge. And just to demonstrate, the Lord had me call 7 people up with their number one prayer request of their life. And I went down and told everybody what it was. Told them not to say it, 7 of them, just to demonstrate the word of knowledge, because God told me to do that. He was showing what's available. That doesn't make me a mystical guy that walks in some freaky way. You know, like spooky way is what I mean. I'm not calling the gifts of the Spirit freaky. What I'm saying is, you know, it's just a term like, whoa. But the Lord told me to do that. He's showing what's available. Now watch. That's not something I'm striving for and needing as much as I'm becoming in my life. Like Dave went with me to Mississippi and he just talked to me on the phone today. He said, I don't know. I'll tell you what, that trip to Mississippi, it's just all about love. And it's just about, it's just love, man. It's love. And so I've been telling everybody, it's just about love. And it is. We're not trying to have gifts. We're becoming love.
Yeah.
So you get it? Man, I hope you're hearing me tonight. I don't know what you came for. I'm pouring out my heart a little bit on some things. So you get alone and you thank God for his heart. You thank God that you're one with him. Don't question that. Don't come into prayer from the perspective of what you're lacking. Come into prayer from the perspective of what he's giving and who you've become. So many people are seeking peace instead of just letting peace have its way. Like, Father, I thank you. I absolutely have peace. And right now, I just submit my soul to you and thank you that I have peace with you. There is no war between you and me. You absolutely love me. When you get in communion with God and go right to the Father, that sure beats kneeling at an altar for somebody to lay hands on you to feel the sensation of peace. Because you leave there with a sensation of peace, and life itself can take that from you in about 3 days. Come on. I'm just saying, let's go deeper. Let's get in relationship with God and let's know him. And out of knowing him, let's move in who he is. You get what we're saying? So when we minister, we don't want it to be what we do. We want it to be who we are. That's where it's going to be more powerful than ever. Does this make sense what I'm saying? Could you just grab some? I'm talking to everybody. This is for all of us. If I get alone with God and I thank him that his heart is mine, and that when I look, I see with his eyes, because I'm your son, and the calling of this kingdom and the gospel is upon me. It's your choice. It's your will that we be one, that I walk out this kingdom. I'm a member of the body of Christ, the fullness of you that filleth all in all, and I thank you your fullness is in me. That's how I pray. I pray out what's true. I pray out the answer all the time. I don't even pray the prayer, God, I need you more. He's in me. I just need to see him more. But I do that by just getting in agreement with God, a yes to every one of his yeses, a yielding, sometimes kneeling. My heart's always kneeling. Whether you kneel physically or not, sometimes it's important to kneel just to send your flesh a message. But you can be knelt in your heart and sitting. You know what I mean? So it's humility. It's relationship.
Can I share one scripture?
Sure.
Just real quick.
Speak up. Yeah.
John talks, Gospel of John says, in him was life, and life was the light of men. And it doesn't say in him was light, the opposite, and the light was the life of men. So life, the light was the, in him was life. Relationship, revelation always comes out of relationship. The life was the light of men. Do you understand?
Did you get what you just said about, this is a good one to repeat, I hear the other part you're saying is very important, but you made a comment there that really jumped at me. Revelation always comes out of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Not just listening to CDs. CDs are helpful because they point you to truth. And they might be coming right out of a person's revelation. But it becomes yours when you take it personally and talk right to Daddy. When you're listening to a CD and it's making sense, man, it might be important to just shut it right off right there when it's getting big in you and you're going, oh my gosh, and it's moving you. Who's ever listened to a CD and it's really like moved them where they're like, wow, that is so good, right? Shut it off right there and say, Father, oh my gosh, I so thank you, and lift your hands to heaven unless you're driving, unless you're really in faith. You know, if you're really in faith, lift your hands, close your eyes, and just pray, baby. No. Strike the tape. What I'm saying is respond from your heart to God when stuff's touching you, because that's how it becomes alive in you. See, because what touches you is you realize it's somebody's, and it's poking on you, it's drawing on you, it's Holy Spirit saying, yeah, and you realize this is true and it's available, but it wants to be yours. And you realize that that person knows it, and you can hear that they see that. And man, I just got a call from a guy. It was a fun kind of call. He was a global student, first year global student. Probably struggled more than any student in the whole school because he wasn't into the manifestations. He didn't know if it was real. He felt like a lot of it was play acted. He felt a lot of stuff, and his mind was going nuts. And yet he saw sincerity in things, but he had millions of questions. And I went out with him on outreach one day, and we walked and talked and touched and loved people, and he bore his heart to me. And I just loved on him, and I'd come and I'd teach. I had a lot of access at Randy's school, and I appreciate that. His pastor in California said 2/3 way through the school, look, you've had so many speakers. Now, don't hear this wrong way. I'm not. You got to hear. Just listen, please. God, I struggle with this stuff. But I understand it.
And stop being overly humble.
God, I'm not being overly humble. I just want everybody to hear this clear. There's a place to teach from who you are in a revelation and not just teach because it's Bible. A lot of people have studied their Bible and they have a message they preach all the time, and it's true. But it might be type in shadow, it might be intriguing, it might be like a wow message. I personally have a mandate in my heart to only speak what I live and experience. That if I don't live this and I can't relate to it in my life, I don't preach it. Like everything I preach, I walk, live, and enjoy. You won't hear me preaching anything that I'm not experiencing. So it's coming out of my knowing. Not my knowing. Okay? So this guy, his pastor said, man, you're getting all these preachers, and I don't know if you understand all these names that come to Randy's school. It's kind of funny because I know all these names, and I open the little manual, and there's my little picture in there, you know? And you know, it's right beside, like, Patricia King or whoever it's beside, and it's funny. And Sharon Huffmaster called me once and was like, oh, my gosh, brother, I saw your picture. It's right there with Patricia. I didn't know it was there with Patricia. She had told me. And then I did look at it when I was up there, and I thought, man, I should have got John to take that picture. But anyhow, I'm kidding. I'm stroking John a little. He said, his pastor said, is there anyone that, now you got to understand why he said this, because of his searchings, because of his struggles, because he's looking for reality. He's heard every message. He's grown up in church his whole life. His pastor says, you know, there's got to be some speakers and you know, some ministries you're experiencing that you know could come and make an impact here with where we're at as a home church. Who could I call? Is there anybody, any speakers? And Phil called me and said that because I said, well, how do you know about me? And he said, and he told me the student. And he said, yeah, he said, I was pretty touched because I know the speakers that they have come to the school. And when I asked him, he said, yeah, there's this one guy. He said, you've got to call him. If you call anybody, you've got to call him. And the reason Evan said that is because where he saw my life is where his heart was crying. For reality, for something to be real, not just Christian because it's the right thing, but where God was real. He called me 6 months ago. He was going to Christ for the Nations. He was in the dorm, and he said he would pray. He said, Dan, don't hear this wrong, man, please, but I would pray, God, I want to know you at least like Dan knows you. And he said, whatever you've got to do in me, please illuminate me. Because when I look at him, listen to him, and walk with him in the streets, I know he knows you to a degree that I don't know you. And I want to know him like he knows you. And I at least want to start there, God. And he was in his dorm, and he said his heart came alive. and he's got overwhelmed. And he's jumping. It sounded like my experience in June of 95. He was jumping up and down. His roommate thought he lost his mind. He was bawling, jumping up and down for a long time, crying and laughing and yelling. And he kept saying, I'm saved. I'm saved. I just got saved.
Yeah.
And all his friends were saying, oh, brother, come on, you were saved. You grew up in church. No, you don't understand. I just got saved. And he felt like he just got saved. Yeah. I'm not even theologically touching that. What I'm saying is the reality of God dawned in his heart and it overwhelmed him. Mm-hmm. And he said, and he called me to tell me that for the first time in his life, now he understands why I was talking that way, or I would act that way, or my face would get the way it did, and I would giggle the way I did, because he said, when he wakes up, God's real. When he wakes up, God's real. Well, now here he's a Christian for 24 years, confessing Christian, and yet God wasn't real until he went on a search to seeking him alone.
Right.
Something huge about it, guys. So guess, long story short, I can't get into it long. Guess what? Do you know anything about what I'm telling you of this student? Did you hear anything about this? Probably not.
I know what happened with the church inviting you out there. And
No. No. This, he just came from 3 weeks. He said, God, I don't think I'm supposed to be a Christ for the nations. He said, no, I don't want you there. He said, now this is a guy that struggled with reality and the power of God and manifestation. He said, well, what do you want me to do? And he said, the name David Hogan came on his heart.
Wow. Oh, wow.
So he looked up his website and called the line, and David answered. And he said, well, this is David Hogan. He said, oh, my gosh, you answered the phone? I would have never expected. He said, son, I never answer this phone, really. I'm never in this office. I just happen to be here, but I believe this is God, because I felt like I was to answer this phone. And he said, who are you and why are you calling? Evan poured out his heart. He said, why don't you come down here for a while and hang out with me, and let's see what God's saying in your life. He just came back from riding in his truck for 3 weeks and living in his house. He said he was the most intense human being he'd ever met in his life. He said he has never experienced anything like it. And he said it's because he knows God. And he said he's overwhelmed. He lived in his house for 3 weeks. He said, other people came to be there for those 3 weeks that were on a 7-year waiting list.
Wow.
And David's not real big on bringing people down, especially from America. And he said he offended everybody that came down, got offended by him because he talked to them straight. And he said he gets an inch from your face. And he said he never saw anybody so intense in his life. He said, I learned so much in 3 weeks. I had the grace to receive, and I was so humbled. And he said the other folks got highly offended with him and thought he doesn't have love and needs to repent. And it's because he's exposing a lot of the religion and twists of American church. And we don't have limbs growing and dead raising and flesh wounds closing. And poisonous snake bites, you know, rendered powerless daily, like they're seeing. So we probably ought to listen.
Right.
Instead of getting arrogant and writing somebody off because of their tone of voice. Because he said David was so intense, and he would say stuff like, don't let the way I'm talking to you overwhelm you, son. Souls are hanging in the balance. Jesus is passionate enough to die. We ought to be able to, too. And he'd get right in his face. This is for real. Souls are dying today, burning in hell, son. Don't think I'm too passionate. He'd be an inch from his face. This kingdom is on the earth. The fire of heaven's on the earth. And America's playing in the anointing. There's an evil spirit that has embraced and seduced the American church that needs to break. He'd talk like that. Right in his face. And Evan was yes, sir. Yes, sir. And he drove in his truck for 3 weeks. So David called him back at home and said, son, I don't know what you want to do with the rest of your life, but I talked to the elders about you. There's something about you that I feel real good about. He said, this is totally unheard of. David doesn't ever do this. He said, we want you to come back down for another month and see if this is God. And if this is God, we want to get you in language school and have you move down here. So will you come back? He said, sir, I have to come back and find out if this is God. So he's going back down for another month.
Wow.
But he said, you're preaching in the service, and they just carried a 103-year-old dead man right in and laid him on the floor in front of the pulpit while they're preaching. He said, the guy's 103.
We're like 106.
And David gets down and prays over him with all his heart, and they're praying over him. They have church, and they pray over him till the 24 hours is up that he's died, and then they bury him in the ground. And they got in the truck and headed back, and David said, I'm glad you experienced that, son. He said, it's not about if they get up or not. He said, it's about praying for the sick, because it's the will of God and the kingdom, and we're going to grow, and we're going to see more sick raised, or dead raised. It's not about if they do or not, it's about that we do it. He said, the Bible says raise the dead. He said, I don't care if they're 103. I don't care. He said, the American church would say, well, you know, you got to die of something. They're 103, praise God. He said, we've had them 100 years old raised from the dead. Because what killed them wasn't God. You get it? So he said, I'm glad you experienced this tonight, because it was a 103-year-old man, but he didn't get up. And he said that was the only dead person that they had bumped into in any of the services that they prayed for. But David said if anybody would have died in the area when they were there or had been dead, they'd have brought them right. That's how they're trained. They lay them right on the altar during service. Every dead person gets prayed for. Everyone. They've seen hundreds raised from the dead. They've prayed for thousands. But hundreds have raised. But he said, you're not going to raise the dead if you don't pray for them. He said, you can get theological all you want. We go for it. We believe the gospel down here. So he just had an incredible time. And I thought, man, isn't that amazing? Here's Evan, not open really for any of this, confused, wanting reality, troubled, had a whole year at Global and came out of it actually feeling like he didn't get anything and more questions than answers. And he kept seeking God for reality, and God met him where his heart was. Not that Global was anything wrong. It was just a reflection where Evan was. You see what I'm saying? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Global. What I'm saying is it was a reflection of him, and God met him where he was, and look at the end result. And I felt, when we were talking in my heart, I felt like he's going to be down there for good, at least for a long while, in them jungles. I was so pumped. I said, call me, man. I was a little envious. I had to repent.
Like another spiritual
son. I was like,
son.
I want to be in that truck for 3 weeks. Yeah. What's up with this?
Yeah.
You know, if I was fleshy, I'd have said, tell him you got this good, buddy.
He'd go, yeah, everybody does. Yeah, everybody does. Now let's go to the next village.
I wouldn't even ask my name, Tisha. I'm telling you, he said, I've never met anybody so intense in my entire life. He said just looking into his eyes was overwhelming when he was out in the field and stuff. Because always thinking his souls. He showed Evan the scars on his body for preaching the gospel. He said, you need to understand why I'm like this, son.
Whipped with machetes.
Whipped, beat, stoned, watched his own men die to martyrdom, buried them himself. Dozens of people killed for the gospel. And there he is preaching with a passion. He said, this is not a game. This is not go to church to feel good and get blessed. This is lay down your life because souls are hanging in the balance and the devil's real and he's playing for keeps. That's the kind of man he is. Who knows it's okay to be that way? We probably ought to like start in that direction. Amen? Yeah, I'm serious. Okay, I'm going to finally read this and I'm not going to be long here. I see it's 10 to 9. But I hope you're just getting something out of where we're going. I just kind of poured my heart out. I'm encouraging you to. Well, no, okay, thanks. Holy Spirit told me to go there. Verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. You got to realize, well, look at verse 19. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst. Okay? You have to realize that in verse 17, he said, don't cling to me. I've not yet ascended to my Father. Go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. That's pretty intense. Yeah. Whose Father is he? His Father and whose Father?
Ours. Father.
Hear the covenant terms here? Mm-hmm. Boy, that's family. He's my daddy and your daddy. He's my father and your father. That makes us family. I'm the firstborn among many brethren. Come on, you got to get that. He's my God and your God. So he's ascending. Don't cling to me. It doesn't mean don't defile me.
She couldn't.
She couldn't defile him. What it means is I can't be detained. I've got to go up to see the Father. I'm ascending to the Father. Why? Because Hebrews 9 says that he took his blood. His blood. Now, I was in California preaching this. A man raised his hand, and very cynically, in a challenged way, you could just feel it was bad. He said, well, tell me how he took his own blood if... And see, the Bible says with his own blood. So it ain't even a question. If the Bible says he took his own blood, who knows he took his own blood? So he was challenging my teaching, and he was really challenging the Word. So it was easy to answer him. First of all, I said, well, buddy, I don't even have to explain it because the Bible says he took his blood. So you either believe by the Bible or you don't. But he said, you tell me how his blood could have been soaked into that wood and into the ground, and he took his own blood when his blood ran out of him and was in the ground. It was just an off-the-wall question. And I'm thinking, well, you tell me how he breathed into dirt and a human being jumped up. You tell me how he said, Lazarus, come forth after 4 days, and every cell of human flesh wasn't decayed, and he jumped up and walked out. Come on. If he took his own blood, he took his own blood. Hello? Okay.
God can rebuild anything.
He can do anything. But it says he took his own blood. So here's what he's saying. Don't cling to me. I have to put my blood in the heavenly tabernacle upon the mercy seat. I believe that with all my heart. He went there and made atonement for man. He made peace with God and man. And because the next verse says what? And the same day at evening. Well, where was he that afternoon? Well, we know he was on the road to Emmaus with a few folks towards supper time. But all of a sudden, he disappeared. Where did he go? Atonement, blood. Now, once again, the glory of God could live in men. Sin was crushed. The power of sin was destroyed. It's very powerful. He comes back the same day, and the first thing he says to him is what? Peace be with you. Why? Because he just made peace between God and man. It's what the angels proclaimed when he was born before the cross. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward man. God's will towards you is good. Don't you forget it. He ain't messing nobody up. His will is good. There's an enemy on the earth. You get it? Okay. Now watch this. Later it says, peace to you as the Father. He's his Father and whose Father? Our Father. As the Father. Now he's calling him the Father because he's our Father, right? As the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you. What he's saying is everything he manifested to me and through me, I'm giving you the right to have. It's yours. That's amazing, guys. Come on, that is bigger than we've even understood by far. But we can start somewhere. Every one of us can receive this at some level. That's a prayer need right there, sister. I know it's normal to pass gas, but that's a prayer need right there. That is more than gas. I guarantee you, Huggies ain't that supernatural. Everybody pray. There ain't a Huggy on the planet can handle that. Pray. Serious. Jesus. We're just liable for the carpets and stuff. I just want to
talk about audio editing.
That made the audio, brother. Blessing God. Oh, he's so innocent. Children are innocent, man. Well, there wasn't nothing abnormal about it. I just knew it was more than air. I said, Mom! She was on it. Good mommy. Thank you, Jesus, for good mamas. You notice the mom jumped up, not the dad. Huh? Stretch your hands to dad. Let's pray right now. Oh, God, you're so good. I tell you, I'm a good daddy. Even when I wasn't saved, I didn't know how to be a good daddy. I was a bad, terrible, horrible daddy. But my wife comes to this side funny thing. It just, my wife, we were young parents, very young. Lisa's tiny. We're in our 20s. I'm 3 years younger than my wife, so I was a young dad. And she starts screaming in the room, screaming. And I go running in, and she's afraid to leave the table because Lisa's on the table, and she's a tiny little pink squirmy baby, just little. And she's screaming, and she's covered with poop, just covered. And she's freaked out as a young mom, just covered. And she said, oh, no. And she's starting to, like, ready to cry and help me. And it just squirted out. It was horrible. And I said, help you? I was like, yeah, just stand here and clean her up. And I said, okay. So I go over and I hear this little warning sound. Like, and I look, and right as I look, it shot out like a water fountain. And what, literally, this is a true story. I went like this. I was so proud. I went. And I followed it right to the source. And when I got there, my hands were totally filled to the top. And not one drop was anywhere. I went, yeah! Yeah! I was pumped, man!
Great save. But
it was a great save. Just a funny story that came to mind. It impressed Kimmy because I was like, I laid down my life. You're not totally selfish after all. She had it on her shirt and was freaking out, and I like had a handful of it.
Two handfuls.
Just a good daddy story, Richard. Something for you to follow us.
Inspired in that, Richard.
Okay. Back to the gospel. Can we recover? Let's see. Look, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, look at the order of this. I want you to see how powerful this is. There's so much in the Word of God. The first thing is peace. Then he affirms it again. He wants them to know there's peace between God and man. The war over sin is destroyed. He has destroyed him, right, who has the power over death, and reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin. Sin is crushed, right, and the power of it. Watch. As the Father sent me, so peace to you, it's with a purpose. It's not just to go to heaven. It's so not just to go to heaven. The blood of Jesus is not shed just to go to heaven. You hear me? It's to get you back to original value and equip you to be the body of Christ. Amen? Hey, little buddy. Yay! Now watch this. So peace to you. Now there's commission. Here's purpose. As the Father sent me, I send you. Do you hear, now be honest with me, do you hear any limitation in that? Or anything different about him and us? Or is he making us the same as his calling?
Level playing.
It's the same. That's amazing. If you believe in me, the things I do, you will do. There's a lot of scriptures we could quote. But I want you to see this right here. So then, when he said this, he breathed on them. That's so beautiful, because that's how God brought Adam out of the dirt. Yeah. Adam's just a form of what he was to be when God was molding him. He was only in the heart and vision of God. God's molding him. But as soon as God breathed in him, he what? He became what God saw and intended. Okay? When he ate the tree, he died, right? Did he die physically? He said, the day you eat the tree is the day you surely die. So we know he died. He died spiritually. He died inwardly. He separated from God, okay? So he went back to just a form of what he was to be. And instead of subduing, he was now subdued. Yeah. Follow this? Okay. Now Jesus is here. It's the picture of redemption brought back to original value. It's actually the garden scene through Christ. It's the last Adam, the second Adam, different translations. Listen, he breathes. It's the same picture. What he did that afternoon was make it possible. And now they're born again. He gave them the commission and then empowered them to become, the empowerment is in Acts. This is how I want to say it. He qualified them. He sealed them for that day of redemption. In other words, they weren't tares anymore. They now were wheat. They weren't dark anymore. They now were light. Their spirits became alive and were reborn. But still, he told them in Luke to what? Tarry till the promise of the Father comes. You'll be witnesses and receive power in the Holy Spirit. Right? Why would that have to happen if we just prayed a prayer to go to heaven, or if we just had faith to apply it to meet our needs? We have the Holy Spirit so we can do the things that He did.
Amen.
Yeah. As the Father sent him, he sent us. Go to Philippians real quick and I'm wrapped up. I'll do this quick. It won't get too late on us. And I know I was real sober in the beginning, and I really was. Sincerely sober about what I was saying and serious. This whole reason for preaching the gospel is to grow and multiply so the glory of the Lord covers the earth. The original intention of God was that Adam and Eve would tend the garden and keep multiplying it and growing and increasing till it covered the earth. Right? Because when he put them in a little garden place, told them to be fruitful, multiply, they would have outgrew it if it stayed the same. It was going to grow and increase and cover the earth till the earth was covered with His glory, because man is the glory of God when he's deemed and in Christ. Well, Psalms 8 reveals that he's the glory of God before sin. He was the manifestation of God. Put himself in the man. He had flesh to manifest God. That's powerful, guys. In the wilderness, when man was self-centered, and kept thinking back to Egypt and whining and complaining, and Moses cried out, there was a time where God said, okay, I'll relent and I'll forgive them. But they're going to pay the price for this because of the law of sin and death, of course. But then he said to Moses, but truly I tell you, as surely as I live, the whole earth shall be filled with my glory.
Yeah.
What God was saying is there's a people here self-centered and self-consumed. But I'm telling you, I'm raising up a people that love not their own life unto death.
Amen.
I'm telling you, there's a people that will love me more than they love themselves. That's what God was saying. There's a people that will be redeemed and restored to be what Adam was in the beginning. And it's through the second Adam, his name is Jesus, and they will live in and through him. And as I send him, he will send them. He was prophesying. As surely, I'm telling you, Moses, right in the face of all this weakness and flesh and carnality and strewn in the wilderness and repentance and suffering and all this stuff. And Moses tearing a lot of wardrobes and putting a lot of dust on his head. He went through some robes, man. And he's between God and man and the people. It's all symbolic. It can all preach. It all has meaning. But God, right in the face of that self-centeredness, said, but Moses, I'm telling you this, as surely as I live, do you hear that? As surely as I live, the whole earth will be filled with my glory. So we ought to rejoice. Because God's, why not pursue and let it be in our day? Now, I hear preachers say that it's dispensational, God has a divine timing. I believe the gospel is available to all men. I don't believe that God is holding back. I don't believe they say we have a greater shot at this than other generations and stuff, only because we can learn more and not follow the same mistakes and stuff, maybe. But don't you believe that every generation could manifest this thing? I believe that, or it would make God partial. God would actually be damning and binding and holding back things. It says the only reason it says that he's holding out, blowing the trumpet, is because of his forbearance and merciful heart, hoping that one more be saved and transformed. So I don't know how he's ever going to blow the trumpet, because he's amazing. So we probably ought to get the message and cover the earth with his glory. Right? So here's the deal. We can be that people. But we have got to we have to deepen the reason we're saved in our understanding. We have to pursue Him in that light. And really ask Holy Spirit to give us a conscious awareness of that identity, to where our lives actually make an impact, and our lives together make a greater impact. And our lives together make a greater impact. You get what I'm saying? See, because if that's the truth, then what people do and don't believe becomes irrelevant because of the manifestation of the kingdom. All of a sudden, you force people that don't believe in healing, even in the church, to decide if this is God or not, at least. That's what it'll come to if they want to say, oh my gosh. But then if we bear fruit and walk in love, there's a good chance a lot of those people are going to say what? Oh my gosh, this is God. Now, there's going to be people, because the Bible says it, red letters. You know, I struggle with that one. I'm like, God, you know, you said all things are possible. Man, let's just believe the whole world gets saved. The Bible says many will come on that day. It says the road is broad and many are those who will go by it. But it says many will come in that day and say, but Lord, now say, depart from me. He will speak to some goats and say, depart from me. It's all red letters. It's prophecy. So that's going to happen. But it doesn't have to be the masses, guys. The many doesn't have to be many. What's many mean? Two's too many. Are you following me?
Yeah. There.
So let's not get lackadaisical and just say, well, you know, people, you know, God will save who He wants, da 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 da. No. If John manifests the gospel in a certain level, somebody that's in John's life might come to know Jesus that would have lived the rest of their life in unbelief if they hadn't seen Jesus in John's life. Let's get real. You follow me? So we take time for people. We live outside of ourselves. We still have obligations, responsibilities, and families, but we still have time for the ones. Now, if every one of us have time for the one, who knows, one plus one plus one plus one, it starts adding up. Right? I mean, just the people we pray for in public is huge. When I saw that lady healed in Mississippi and get out of that wheelchair, she turned and preached to that whole crowd when I left. That was more powerful than when she got healed. Because now I'm not there. There's no intimidation. They're not trying to avoid me, thinking he's going to talk to me next. Because people get weirded out. They can even go to church and get weirded out. Because they ain't used to you praying in an airport and being open and bold about what you believe. Some Christians actually think there's a time and place for everything. And I'm thinking, yeah, the kingdom, now and everywhere. You know? But still, they get religious. But when she turned and started talking to that crowd, doing exercises, pointing to a chair, I watched her. She's pointing to her chair, doing exercises, talking to the crowd with a big smile. Now, you can imagine what she was saying. She's saying, I was just in that chair. I was frozen. I couldn't even. And now, look at. And that man, he prayed in Jesus' name. She's pointing to the chair, smiling, doing exercise. Walking all around. And they're all just sitting there like this. And she's got all their attention because she's not. They're not intimidated by her. Isn't that cool?
Amen.
It's fun. There was more accomplished there in the big picture than just her getting healed. So it's always bigger than you think. Okay, I want to go to Philippians 3 with a little bit of time, and now I ate my little bit of time. So pray for me, Bob. You have faith?
Yeah.
That I can do this quick?
I hope.
Are you sure you have faith? Ah, see, he don't have faith. He has hope. So guys, I won't go short. I'll be long and just blame it on Bob. We'll crucify Bob. I love you, buddy. You are just called the carrier cross, not get on it. Okay, listen here. Listen here. Come on, this is awesome. I'm just going to read this, it'll make sense. In verse 7 of Philippians 3, Paul's talking about his flesh inheritance, like he was born a Hebrew, a tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which in law blameless, because of his heritage, okay? Of being a Pharisee. But he says, but what things were gained to me, these I've counted lost for Christ. What he's saying is, I don't want to gain an advantage by who I was in the flesh, because that can only reap flesh reward. I realize none of that means anything. It's Christ crucified. What he's saying is, it's never my own righteousness or my heritage. It's the righteousness through Christ and by faith. So what he's doing is, he's saying, even though I could be confident in the flesh, and it would pass the grade with men, it would sell me short with truth. So I'm counting all of that as loss so that I can gain the truth in He's Christ. Okay, watch this. There's so much we could say, but I'm nutshelling it and trying to make sense and say and do justice to what this is. There's a whole lot more in everything we preach. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost. Look, for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Man, talk about transformation and identity change and putting away the old and putting on the new. I've suffered the loss of what? All things. That means concerning his identity and who he is and what makes him tick and his motives. He's you get what I'm saying? And I count them as... Wow. Come on, he's getting real with himself and he's saying, you know what, Paul? It doesn't really matter what you think, what you've been taught, and what you believe. What matters is Christ.
Amen.
Doesn't even matter how you feel, Paul. What matters is Christ. And everything contrary to Christ is rubbish. Okay? He's preaching it out. This is what it's saying. Now watch this. And the only way you can gain Christ is to count all those things rubbish, because you can't incorporate the two. It's a muddy water. It's compromise, twisted wisdom. It's like, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. There's no mix. Watch this. And I'll be found in him. Look at this. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus. The righteousness which from God by faith. Now watch verse 10. I love this. Now this is the Apostle Paul, who we all regard highly. God gave him the grace to write a whole bunch of stuff, right? And we know he had a revelation, and we know it was given by God, right? Jesus revealed it himself. But here's Paul crying out that I may know him. Some people say, well, Paul did know him. Yeah, and he said, it's like that lady. Do you think there's many people where you're at? And I'm like, where am I at? Paul's saying that I might know him. Who's the standard, the Apostle Paul or Jesus?
Jesus.
That's right, Jesus, absolutely. Do you hear that? Children know, man. Shoo. I had my granddaughter yesterday watching her and spending time with her, and I got on the phone a whole lot. She said, you praying again, Grandpa? I said, yeah, honey, I am. I said, let me pick it up. I'll be right in a minute. Thanks for your patience, honey. So I'm on the phone, and I'm talking, and I start praying. She's just looking at me. Sweetest look on her face. I'm praying. I look down. She's just staring at me. I can tell she loves me. And I reach down my hand, and she just takes my hand, and she's just holding my hand. She just knows I'm praying. Hung up, and I said, Jesus made them all better. I said, we were praying because Jesus, they were really sick, and Jesus came and made them all better. She's smiling real big, and phone rings again. You going to pray again, Grandpa? I say, I think I might, honey. I might have to, yeah. So we're doing this, and then I get the call about Gail, and I hung up, and she said, were you praying again, Grandpa? I said, well, no. Somebody went to the hospital, but when Mommy picks you up, I'm going to go and I'm going to pray for them that Jesus makes them all better. She said, I want to go and help you. I want to go help, Grandpa. I said, well, honey, I would take you, but Mommy's got to take you home. And I said, sometime, but we're going to pray. Jesus is going to help him and make him better. She said, she's understanding. Kids are amazing. You know? And, okay, watch this. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection. People say, well, Paul, you did know the power of his resurrection. The man fell out the wind and died, and you laid on him, and he came back to life. Okay, that's good. That's bearing fruit, and that's a hurrah. But Paul's saying that I may know him. And what he's saying is there's so much more. I haven't scratched the surface of the fullness of this kingdom. And the more I walk in it, the more I can multiply it. The more I see, the more I can give and impart. Do you know what I mean? So what he's crying out is, I've really seen nothing yet. I've got to know him. I feel like I do, but I know I got to know him more. Men look at me and think, boy, Paul, you got dibs on the kingdom. Oh, that I might know him. That's his heart cry. So let's not ever make men the standard. Jesus is the standard. People say all the time, well, Paul had to leave his fellow brother behind, and he wasn't healed, and he wouldn't go because he left him back and so-and-so sick. And they quote the scriptures and verse, man. They're building a case against the kingdom. And you say, yeah, he did. That's why he's crying out, God, that I might know you so I don't have to be in this situation, because you never were. Come on. When was Jesus ever in that situation? Where he said, boy, Peter, I'd love you to come along, but we ain't getting the breakthrough. Paul was in that situation. And you hear him crying out that I might know you more in your power. Come on, that's real. The fellowship of his sufferings being informed of his death. Now watch this. This is for all of us. Oh, if any by means I would attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have all, and I'm just blowing by some of this stuff because I want to get to this and close. Not that I have already attained. Do you hear what he's saying? What he's saying is, I thank God for every revelation in my heart. I thank God for everybody healed. I thank God for everybody raised from the dead and everybody getting born again. But man, this thing is just starting to roll, and I haven't gotten there yet, and it's going to get bigger and grow more, and we haven't seen anything yet. Thank God for what we're seeing, but we haven't seen anything yet. That's his perspective right here. That's what keeps you from compromising or getting slack in your heart or just planing out. You know what I mean? Because I'm telling you, God starts moving. It gets fun. It used to be a trap in my life. I'd see things when I'd go to churches, and I'd ride on it for a couple weeks until I'd go to another church, and I'd just talk about it. That's why I don't talk about a lot of testimonies. I don't talk about anybody I pray for in public or anything, because it does something weird to me. So I don't even talk about it. People I pray for, rarely do I talk about it. I pray for people all the time. I don't say nothing to nobody, because there's something I used to ride that didn't increase me. It actually made me feel, it cleaned me off. It made me feel like I was there. And the Lord spoke to me one day personally in like English. And so don't even try to talk me out of what I'm saying, because I know the power of the testimony and the whole nine. No, he talked to me as a son. And he told me, he asked me, why am I drinking the same cup twice when there's bottles and bottles of new wine to be poured forth and poured into the empty souls or the empty cups of the souls of men? And I realized there was times somebody could heal a terminal cancer, and I would just ride the momentum of that for 2-3 weeks and talk about it and didn't even pray for anybody else with cancer or even look to pray for anybody else. I would just ride the testimony out, and it was my affirmation. Yeah. And you think it would have done something else to me. So I don't get into all that. I just stay focused now. And he taught me that. But it was not that's for everybody. That's for me. That was a weakness in me. It was something he showed me I was doing. And I don't want to do that. Man. You see cancer disappear. Bring it on. That's attack the stuff. You would think that's how we all respond. That's not what I was doing. And I was letting a lot of what God was doing be the affirmation of things. So here's what he's saying. Not that I've attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold. Now watch this. What's he pressing on for? That he might lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of him for. Do you hear purpose in that? As the Father sent me, I send you. And I ain't backing off, and I'm pressing in to attain the fulfillment and consummation of that right there. And I'm following Jesus. Do you hear him saying this? Brethren, look. I don't count myself. This isn't a negative comment. It's a very humble comment that keeps his heart hungry and moving forward. It doesn't mean he's taking lightly the things God's doing. He just knows there's more God wants to do. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. He didn't say all the bad things. He just said forgetting those things behind. That means he's not riding the momentum of yesterday. He's riding the momentum of the kingdom. Now, I know there's a power in remembering and testimony and memory stones. There's times that I'll see things, talk about things, and things will stir in me, and it'll release. You know, I understand all that. But what Paul's saying is there's a momentum here in my heart of moving forward in the kingdom, and it's because the kingdom's in me, and I see I haven't attained it. I'm growing, and I'm just keep on releasing, and it's growing. It's getting bigger and bigger. You're going to see this. Watch. Reaching forward to those things which are what? Ahead. So there's a lot of things behind us, but there's a lot of things ahead of us yet to come. And he wants us living for those things. Do you get it? Thank God for the person that was healed yesterday. Thank God this afternoon for the person that was healed. Man, there's people healed every day. I'm aware of people healed. I get so many phone calls. I see so many people healed on the phone all the time. I don't even talk about it. I've got a lot of powerful stuff going on. I got a Christmas card from a lady that was blind and couldn't walk, and she's seeing and walking on the cell phone. It's just fun. It's just cool. Watch this. I'm reaching. Does that sound like there's a release of faith here and a perspective to those things which are ahead? He's excited about the more to come. He's excited about the increase of the kingdom. He's excited about the possibilities of God's love and power manifesting through us as a church. Man, he's excited about more towns getting saved and more cities getting overrun with the gospel. He's reaching ahead. He's not filling out a resume and just creating a website. He's pumped to see another city saved. Amen. No pun intended. Listen, I pressed toward the goal. Man, this ought to motivate every one of our hearts. There's a goal, guys. There's a prize. Amen. Let me get passionate a little more with you. There's this window called life, and you're living in it right now. And you're going to carry it to the throne room with a legacy. What do you say? You run the race worthy of a prize. Because that legacy will stand before the King to his honor forever. So you either loved yourself, or you laid down your life and loved him and others, and you take a legacy there. You'd be amazed how many people will walk up there with a legacy of they've read their Bible to get their prayers answered. You all right? That wasn't a harsh statement, okay? It's got to be more than that. Watch. I'm done, like, real soon. I am. I pressed toward the goal for the prize of the
upward
call of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. Look, now here's what I wanted. I said all that to say this because it was all good. See, you can't jump into the therefore scripture unless you know what it, like Martha said one day, unless you know what it's there for. Therefore, in light of what I've just said, is what he's saying. In light of what I've just said, let us, as many as are mature, have this same mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. What he's assuming is you're spending time with God. And that if you're spending time with God, he'll speak to you as a father. Come on. If we're really spending time with God with an open heart seeking him, who knows, we'll hear from him. He's saying, if you don't agree with what I'm saying, I know it's so from God that as you spend time with him, he'll show you. Come on. Now, here's the next verse. You all like this. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, that means no matter where you're at and seem to be on this spiritual journey, this rung, if there is such a thing. He talks about the mature. And then he says, nevertheless, no matter where you're at in Christ, a babe, 5 years, 10 years, 2 weeks, no matter where you're at, to whatever degree you've attained, let us walk by this same rule and let's be of the same mind. Do you hear the unity of faith here? Boy, that sure beats shopping for a church you like. Man, did I say that? I'm stabbing here tonight, ain't I? Love, it hurts so good. That song, I'm going to make a DVD with that and preach and have that song playing in the background.
You go deep and hard. Sword.
Love, it hurts so good. Have a sword with blood all over it. Because the truth is love and truth. It's powerful. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have a spur pattern. Man, if you read the rest of the chapter, it's frightening in a sense. So I'm not going to cause the time.
Because of the Bible.
Yep, I'm closing my Bible. Listen, this is just 1 second, Doc. This is a very passionate word. And Jesus wants our life just filled with purpose. Not a striving kind of pressure type purpose. What a joy and honor and privilege to be filled with the kingdom and walk the kingdom. We're laying hold of that which he laid a hold of us for. We haven't attained, but we're pressing on. We're not just living by what's happened. We're living by what's about to happen. We're motivated. We're moving forward. There's increase. There's more on the horizon. What do you say? We go after it. Do you hear? That's what he's crying out. So let's not just settle into Christian. Man, let's grow up in him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we just thank you right now for grace. I just thank you, Father, very sober, feel very passionate about many topics right now in my heart. Just asking you for wisdom in our lives, asking you for clear discernment, asking you, Lord God. We wouldn't just get fired up with zeal and not have knowledge. We want zeal and knowledge, God. Father, we ask you to give us insight and understanding in all these things. And we ask to be so well-rounded and matured as the people of God that we'd walk blameless in a crooked earth and generation, and we'd move in love and manifest your power. Lord, I ask you to stir every one of our hearts like never before. I ask you to give us a grace to pursue you. I ask you for an impartation of hunger and desire. If there'd be one heart here that just feels wore down or even numb, I would ask that you touch it even tonight. Rekindle it and manifest your will in our lives. Father, we thank you for it. Right now, we receive it, God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Is it Barry? Yeah. Barry had a prostate cancer, and his numbers just all went to normal. 2 pages of blood tests, and all his numbers are normal. Metastatic prostate cancer, and all his numbers went to normal. That's, yeah. Isn't that good? Coming to John, natural stuff, came here for prayer.
John.
Thank God for natural stuff, but we know Jesus rocks.
He rocked it way sooner than natural stuff, but this was almost immediate.
This is Jesus.
Like,
yeah. So here's the deal. We want to pray for you tonight if you need prayer. You got sickness in your body? We want to pray for you. Jesus is Lord. He's amazing. Listen, we haven't always seen the results to prayer. We haven't always seen people live that were supposed to die. But we have seen them live. And watch this. Even if we've never seen them live, the Bible says to pray and they can live.
Yeah.
We've got to decide, do we believe our experience, or do we believe there's a place to grow where we start seeing what he said?
Amen.
That's where I want to lock my heart. Where my experience, if it's not the word of God, has no influence or voice in my heart. You hear me? Doc, did you still have something? I had said it just a minute. And I'm sorry, I just remembered I did that to you.
Hold one prayer. Pretty much says it all.
Thanks for loving
what we're talking about. Paul prays that our hearts will be flooded with light so that we can see something of the future he has called us to share. He wants us to realize that God has been made rich because we are Christ's.
Right.
And we have been given to Jesus. That's Ephesians 1:18.
Amen.
So we are to be flooded with light.
Amen. You see this little guy right now?
Mm-hmm.
I never met him in my life. Really good. And he's just hearing and seeing and perceiving, and here he is. He just crawled up. Look at that. You tell me that isn't God. I'm just not your everyday other guy. And you don't need to be either. I'm not saying I'm different than you. I'm saying you don't need to be either. You get it? Come on, this is a big deal. This stuff wrecks me right here. I believe Jesus experienced this stuff all the time. When I was in Mississippi, these little kids, some of them were only not even quite 2, couldn't talk. They would hold on to my leg and lay their head against my leg and not let go while I was ministering. And then I started to hold them, and they wouldn't let me put them down. And they laid their heads tight against me and squeezed. And when, you know how you hug somebody and you release your grip?
Mm-hmm.
When I would release my grip, they were squeezing and squeezing. One little girl squeezed me for a half hour with pressure and was that close and wouldn't let go. I take that stuff touches me.
Mm-hmm.
Because children are innocent and they perceive and they
know.
So if you're sick, we want to pray for you. So please. We're seeing God do some cool stuff. It's not like we're testing out the gospel. We're seeing God move. I'm telling you, there's so many things going on. I don't even talk about it much. Of the whole meeting would be testimonies. Even when you take these trips, Todd couldn't possibly come back and try to tell you. Dave, on the second day at Mississippi, said, "Dan, I realized you can't keep track of what God's doing when you go on these trips." This is, he said, "Now I understand when you come back, everybody says, what's going on?" He said, "I gave up keeping track of what God's doing." That was after the second day. That's what he said. Yeah. So if you're sick, stand up. We want to pray for you. If you want prayer, if you got a physical condition, you need a touch of grace in your life, please stand up if you need prayer. He's getting touched. I feel it. It's good. What's going on with you? Yeah. Yeah.
Been through a lot. He has a little sister and a friend of mine.
Okay. This is supernatural. I've felt this before. Yeah, this is good. You'd be amazed what God does right now like this. I held a boy in Montana like this. Everything changed. He was a sage. Like all kinds of little things that he became because of traumas. Everything changed, and all I did was hold him. Because he crawled up on me. I was probably one of four people saved in the whole big family place we were in. But I was probably, without sounding arrogant, I was probably the only one that had near the revelation that I had. And that little boy singled me out of all them people and crawled up on my lap. And all I was doing was sitting talking Jesus the whole time. And he crawled up on my lap. He just sat there. And his quote mother said later that there's no way to describe it. So much changed. And I just feel God just loving on him. I feel God doing something. It's very powerful. Father, thank you. Father, even circumstantially work, grace and wisdom. Father, kinks and natural issues, God. Chaos, confusion, craziness. Let it all fade away, God. Just orchestrate your justice, orchestrate your blessing. Father, you know this young boy. Yeah. And I ask that your good and your perfect will would be manifest in his life, that nothing could ever be robbed, stolen, that he wouldn't be a statistic, a casualty. He wouldn't just be a psychological result of something. But I thank you that he would be a manifest man of the kingdom. I bless him and I thank you for touching emotionally, solely in his sleep, God. Yeah. Blessing, Jesus. Blessing, Lord. Pour your spirit out upon him. Thank you. Work your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer, please stand up. If you can get over someone, pray with our brother. Anybody else, you need any prayer for anything.